Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is everybody be happy to be in church tonight?
Yes.
I know you are. Praise God.
Praise God.
Glory to God. God's got good things for us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Three people are hooked up to that. Glory to God. We'll get a few more. A few more and we'll be ready to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's got good things for us. I know that God wants to bless us. Amen. I know he wants to bless us because he's given us the word, amen, and he's given us pastors and he's given us local churches and he's given us all kinds of things. Isn't it great too? I just want to say, you know, it was great to see my brother John step up here tonight. You know, I know that, you know, it's not necessarily a non-scary thing when you step up your first time to do something like he's called to do. I can't imagine being called on to do that, but man, he just stepped up there and it blessed me tonight. I just want you to know that. But it's awesome to see what God's doing in people's lives. Amen. Of course, not just John's life. God's doing things in everybody's life, and we're thankful for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I love what God's doing down here in Corey. I know he's doing a good work. We know that there's good things for this area. Praise the Lord. And he's going to start. He's at least doing it through us. We know that. Amen. I'm not speaking for anyone else. I'm not speaking against anyone else. But I know I can speak for me. I know I can speak for the work that God has set me to do. And so that's what we're believing on. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called, We Don't Mind Thinking Small. Ooh, we don't mind thinking small. Now, when I use the word mind there, it's a little bit of a twist. You know, I like to do this. Amen. I'm not talking about we should think small. Amen. But there's one definition of that word mind that means pay attention to. And so what we could say this is, we don't pay attention to thinking small. We're not going to give it our attention, amen? Because thinking small, nobody gets blessed by thinking small, amen? I'm so glad that this country was not founded by a bunch of people who thought small. Because if it was founded by a bunch of people who thought small, praise the Lord, we would have never gotten out of the East Coast, amen? It would have never expanded to the West Coast. And I love the East Coast, but I love the West Coast too, praise the Lord. I love the North non-coast and the South non-coast, praise the Lord. I just love this country. I love everything, you know, that God's doing here. But we know that that there's a lot of things we just wouldn't have. We wouldn't be a major superpower, praise the Lord. You know, if we had a government that thought small, we wouldn't have, you know, they say, somebody was recently telling me that whoever rules the seas traditionally rules, has the most power, the strength, amen? They're the ones that always come out on top. When we have the largest navy in the world, praise the Lord, I'm glad whoever came up with that, amen, the navy and all that stuff, I'm glad they didn't think small, praise the Lord. I'm glad they thought more ships and bigger ships. Why? Because they knew something about it, amen. And I didn't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that. We're thankful for things like that. But I'm just thankful for big thinking, amen. Now, one thing I've learned, you know, I grew up in a fairly small town. It was Jamestown, a little bit bigger than this town. But, you know, still kind of a small town feel, you know. And I'll just tell you that there's something in this area, in this general region of the country, that I've noticed, and that's something, and that's that we are typically kind of bound by small thinking. Yeah. Small thinking is a very dangerous thing. We have a big thinking God. Aren't you glad? Amen. You know, God didn't just create one piece of land on a little planet somewhere. No, he created a really nice sized planet and a big universe and a really big universe, praise the Lord, and a big galaxy and a big universe and with a big sun to warm us and all these things. But God's a big thinking God. Amen. And you look at you look at all the different things that we have. That's just big. Every time you look around, you can see the bigness of God. Amen. As we look into things. And I'm so thankful that God has taught me through a Bible teaching church that to think bigger than what we do. Amen. This Bible, this book here that we have is full of big thinking. This is not for little thinking people. This is not for people who don't want very much in their life. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. We could have done that one chapter. Amen. For the way most Christians think, you could cover it in one chapter in the Bible. I'm just telling you the truth. But God has given us a whole book full of big thinking, a whole book of bigger thoughts that we need to have. And I'm just going to tell you right now that we need to be bigger thinkers. Amen. And if you think, well, I'm a pretty big thinker, praise the Lord for you. I'm excited for you. Think bigger. Why? Because God's thinking bigger. The Bible says that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Amen. Praise the Lord. He can do exceedingly abundantly above. So as big as we can, I can think fairly big, but I want to think bigger because I want him to do exceedingly above what even what I think is big. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's doing big things. We wouldn't plant churches. You know, family churches would not exist if somebody did not think bigger. Hallelujah. Thinking bigger is something that is important for Christians to do. Amen. So we're not gonna pay attention to small thinking. We're going to think big like God thinks. Amen. Why don't you turn with me to Proverbs 23. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. It's a good scripture here. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." I just want to focus on that part. In context, this is talking about some different things, but the principle is something that we can pull out, and rightfully so, amen. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. This is the problem. This is the number one problem with thinking small, being a small thinker, is that as you think in your heart, that's what you're going to have. That's what you're going to see. And we're going to see here in this message because that how you think is tied to what you believe. And what you believe is what your faith is. Amen. And it all starts in the mind. It all starts in that place, you know, that gray matter between your ears. Amen. That's upstairs there. That it all starts right there. How we perceive things. Amen. I was recently, I think I maybe mentioned it here or in Mayville Church, I can't remember, but I was recently listening to a thing about thinking and how different things can control, you know, how our minds can control what we do and who we are. I will say this, everybody who is a multimillionaire, they're not people that are small thinkers. They're not people that are limited in their thinking. They're people that can think outside the box. They can think beyond, amen? And we're going to see that God has put this in us. He's put this very nature on the inside of us. But we can hinder it because of the way that we've been raised, because of the way that we, because of our environment that we're around. But we need to, something that Christians need to understand is you need to take your environment and change it by the word of God. This needs to become your new environment. In fact, the word tells us that we are aliens here. And what's an alien? It's someone who doesn't belong, right? An alien is not somebody who is supposed to be around the area. Typically, amen. They're somebody that is not necessarily even wanted. Praise the Lord. And we don't need to be wanted here. What we need to do is we need to be heaven-minded. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. While you're there, why don't we turn over to Galatians 2:20. Glory to God. I believe God's got help for us tonight. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, a few times a year, generally, I get to go out to Southern California. And one of the reasons that I absolutely love, besides the weather, love getting to go out there, is because everything out there is done in such a greater scale than what it's done around here. You know, there's kind of a thing. It's kind of a thing in smaller areas where some people get okay with thinking small, but you know, it's really not okay. I used to think it was humble to think small. I remember talking to a pastor in the family churches early on, way before I was pastoring, and I said, you know, I don't ever care to be wealthy or to have bigger. And then he spoke to me by the Holy Ghost right there, and he said, you should care because that's exactly what God wants to do in you. And, you know, that's the thing that we have to understand is that a lot of times we can go without something, and not just for us. Like, listen, maybe you don't want a whole lot. Maybe you don't need a whole lot to bless you, and that's fine. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't desire a whole lot to come into your life. And the reason I say that is because we're not called to just be a blessing for us. You know, listen, if I require a whole lot as a person, then I need a whole lot more to be a blessing, don't I? But if you only require a little, and that's fine, you can require a little, right? But if you only desire a little just to meet your requirement, then you're not being a blessing to anybody else. You can live in poverty if you want to and still bless everybody else. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. It's the way it can be. Amen. And you think about how many mouths you can feed. You might not desire any more for yourself, and that's fine. Maybe you just want a small house and a small car. Smith Wigglesworth, one of our great fathers of faith, praise the Lord. His joy was full in a small house in England, downtown in a town in England, regular neighborhood, nothing fancy. Amen. He could have believed God for anything for himself, and God would have been happy to provide it. But how many know that he was happy with that? But what he, but that that doesn't mean he kept his faith small. He didn't keep his, he believed God to do just everything that he was called to do. And see, this is what a problem with small thinking is that it doesn't just affect us. See, you may say, well, I don't want more. That's just as bad as saying, oh, give it all to me. That's just as bad as being a drain. Of course, Jesus, he rebuked the idea of coveting riches in Scripture, but he never rebuked anyone for being wealthy. He never said you're wrong for being wealthy. He rebuked people for being wrong about it, having the wrong heart about it. But we have to remember that poverty is just as bad as extreme wealth if it's not done right, if it's out of the will of God. And so a lot of people, they will stay in poverty thinking that they'll be okay with staying in poverty, thinking that that's what God has for them. But it isn't. Now, when I'm talking poverty, I don't just mean the amount of cash you have or the amount of things you have around you. I'm talking about a way of life, a way of thinking. Amen. A way of saying, well, some people try to put it on other people. They say, well, I don't have, so I don't think other people should have either. Praise the Lord. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not any of your business to declare what somebody else should have or shouldn't have. Why? Because you're not their God. You're not the one who declares whether or not the brother or sister next to you gets blessed. You don't know what they've been treading out. You don't know the kind of grain, the things they've been doing for God. And you don't know what God's put on their heart. And see, this is an issue in the body of Christ, because what happens is people start judging other Christians because they either have or whatever. And then the problem with that is you don't know what God has put on their heart. What if God has put on my heart to go feed 10 million people? Well, am I going to do that on a paycheck that just barely gets us by? Absolutely, it won't happen. I can't remember the exact guy. He was a businessman, but early on when he went to the Lord, he was a Christian. Early on, he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, he said, it's the desire of my heart to give you 90% of everything I make. God made him a multimillionaire. He was faithful to it. His 10% that he kept for himself was millions of dollars. Now, some people would say, well, you don't need all that. But see, God put it on his heart, and he did that. And he blessed people and blessed churches and blessed. See, that's the thing. We can't be a blessing if we have nothing. You can't be, Peter said, he was talking about money there, but he said, and it goes both spiritually too. He was saying, as he was walking along, he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And so there's an example. If we're not desiring the things that matter to God, if we're small thinkers, then we're never going to do the things that God has for us, because God will call us to do things all the time that we can't do. And if you're a small thinker, you'll never do it. If you're okay with small thinking, you will never do things that God's going to. But why? Because you will see no need for it. Yeah. Some people say, well, why did you need to go buy a building? You didn't need to go buy it. Of course we need to go buy a building. Why? Because you can't have a church without a building. What do you mean? Well, we got to have a space to meet. Amen. Well, you go back and you read the 23rd Psalm, and I'm just going to tell you right now. Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. What's one thing he does? He leads us by still waters, leads us into green pastures. What is still waters and green pastures to a sheep? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not a broken down storefront. No. Praise the Lord. It's not a broken down trailer out back. I'm just telling you the truth. It's not. What is it? It's something that's nice. Yeah. Green pastures indicate something that's nice. Amen. Why do you think they made money green? Yeah. They didn't make money brown, poop brown, or anything like that. No, what did they make? They made it green. Why? Because green draws people in. Why are the Irish so awesome? Because everything's green in Ireland. Amen. They even turn the water green, praise the Lord. They do everything green. Why? It's what St. Paddy's Day is all about, is making things green. Amen. I used to think I was Irish. I found out it was Italian. Praise the Lord. But I'd be a green Italian. Amen. Glory to God. But God needs us to think big. He needs us to think bigger. Amen. I've quoted somebody, I don't even know who it was now, but I know my pastor used to say it, but he said, humans are thinking about buckets of water and God's thinking about oceans. Yeah. Amen. We need to think about oceans so he can think about something bigger. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And God's already thinking way big anyways. But, you know, we want to get caught up to the way our Heavenly Father is thinking. The other thing is, I read the scripture in Mayville last week out of Amos. It says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, if God's a big thinker and you're a small thinker, you're not agreed. How are you going to walk with God? Yeah. How are you going to go where God wants you to go if you're not thinking the way he wants you to think? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, we can find all this stuff in the Bible. It's just true. So we might as well just get on board being big thinkers. Amen. Galatians 2:20, praise the Lord, says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I'm dead. When you're crucified, you're dead. You're dead as a doornail. You don't get up and move anymore. You have no desires of your own. You have no wants of your own. When you're dead, you're dead. Amen. I've heard many ministers talk about this, and it's the truth. But dead people don't desire. They don't care. Amen. Dead people don't care what people think. Amen. And stuff like that. But we understand that we have been crucified from our former selves. So we have to think outside the box. We have to think differently than what we used to think. Amen. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life, everyone say the life, which I now live, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. See, when Jesus was here, it was really interesting because the devil was so stupid that all he could think about was killing the Son of God. That's what he wanted to do. That was his goal. That's a small thinking. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's a small thinking. You know why? Because God knew that by him killing the Son of God, he was going to multiply him exponentially. There's millions, or should be millions and billions of us running around this earth right now, giving the devil a hernia every time we go. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's exactly the way it should be. Praise the Lord. I can't take credit for that quote either, but I'll use it nonetheless. Amen. But that's exactly what it needs to be. We need to be a bunch of Christians running around. See, the devil thought small, and that's what he got. He had small. Amen. Praise the Lord. And not that Jesus was small, but you understand that God multiplied. His intent was multiplying Jesus many times over. And that's exactly what happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we see his here, the life of which we now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, living by faith in the Son of God isn't just believing that Jesus exists, but it's believing in his calling. It's believing in what he was meant to do, and it's believing in the connection which we have with him. If we're small thinkers, we can't think of the connection that we have with him because God is using you for a bigger purpose. Amen. How many know that God is using me for a bigger purpose? Praise the Lord. Could have kept me at home, didn't have to bring me out. Amen. Could have just kept me in the back corner. Didn't have to use me for anything. Could have kept us in Mayville. Could have kept us in Jamestown. Praise the Lord. But God wanted, he had a bigger purpose. He had a bigger plan. Amen. And that's why if we're limited in our thinking, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If we're limited in our thinking, then we limit what God can do in our lives. And what God wants to do in our lives is not just for us. In fact, very little of it is for us. It's great that he wants to do stuff for us. And he does want good things in your life. But most of what God wants to do in your life is not for you. It's for other people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you try to live according to what you see, you will always be limited by what you can see. Let me say that again. If you try to live according to what you can see, then you will always be limited by what you see. In other words, if you can't ever think outside the box, if you can't ever think bigger, if you can't ever think more, then you will always see. That's what you're always going to have. Amen? And that's not what God desires for us, because faith does not stop at just what you see. In fact, we understand this, that faith is for things that we don't see, right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That it says that hope that is seen is not hope. Right? Praise the Lord. Faith that already has, you don't have faith. You can't say, if you have $1 million, you can't say, I'm using faith to gain money. Praise the Lord, because you don't know anything about faith. But God will use some. He'll take somebody who's poor and let them use their faith and grow them to a place where they have, you know, where potentially could have millions of dollars. And that's an example, because if somebody can reach towards it, amen? That's exactly what God did, again, when he sent Jesus, as he planted his son on the earth with the intent that he would have more. If a farmer never thought that he would increase, if he never saw more, then he'd never go out and plant a whole field. It takes work to dig up a whole field. Praise the Lord. I watch these Amish, man. I don't know how they do it, but they go out there and they plow whole fields and they don't have all the fancy, or they don't use all the fancy equipment that people use today, but they still get it done. They still have a harvest. They have a great number of things. They have enough left over. Praise the Lord. You know, no farmers can't be small thinkers. Why? Because they'll never produce more. You know, and people, some people get mad at this kind of thinking. They get mad at Christians that think this way. But God's the one who ordained it all. Right. You know what? I didn't come up with an ear of corn. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I didn't come up with this idea that you plant one seed in the ground and you get a gazillion seeds or whatever you get out of it. You get a bunch of seeds, hundreds of seeds. Amen. The same thing with every kind of fruit and anything else. Have you ever seen a pomegranate? Yeah. You ever eaten a pomegranate? That's all it is seeds. Yeah. Right? And people still eat it. That's how goofy we are. But no, because they taste good. The stuff around the seeds. But that's all pomegranate is. It's full of seeds. It's a fruit that's full of seeds. Amen? Yeah. Strawberries are covered in seeds. Yeah. I just love that. One seed produces all those kinds of seeds. Amen? And so we understand that God is always a big thinker. In fact, God says that what can be known of God is shown in his creation. Yeah. So look at his creation. What in God's creation that is working the way that it's supposed to does not produce more and more and more? And every human that is sitting here today, there is seed in every single person, praise the Lord, to produce more humans than any of us care to produce. Yeah. Right? It's the truth, right? I'm not trying to be graphic or anything like that. We keep it PG. But we know that on the inside of us, typically, you know, most humans, if they're, I'm not saying, you know, sometimes there's issues. People can have issues and stuff like that. But the way God designed us to operate, there's more seed within us than we can ever use. There's more seed that falls to the ground and rots than anybody could ever use, than any farmer could ever use. And that's the way our God thinks. And so that's the way that we need to think. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you try to live according to what you can see, you will always be limited by what you can see. Praise the Lord. Notice I said here, what you can see. You know, your answer to any problem that you ever go to a God for or that you need answers to, you notice that's always something you can't see. Isn't that the truth? Every trial that you have, the reason you don't know what to do is what you can't see. Because if you could see it, you'd already know what to do, right? When you have a conundrum, you get a bill that you can't pay, what do you do? You can't see how to pay that bill. Right. This is why we need to think bigger. When we have things arise before us, God has put it in our nature to be bigger thinkers. But what the devil has done is he's kind of made it a cool thing for people to think small. And we don't want to be people that think small. We want to think the way God wants us to think. Amen? Our answers are found in what we can't see. So we might as well be bigger thinkers and start thinking about things we can't see. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah. The way that we do that is with the Word and with the Holy Spirit. He will lead us into all truth. The truth are the answers to the things that we need. The Word is the answer to everything that we need. Every trial that every man or woman or child can face on this earth can be answered through these scriptures right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now we got to ask ourselves, what is faith? Amen. And we're going to find out by flipping over to Hebrews. Probably know where I'm going. And if you don't, we'll go here a lot of times between now and the time Jesus comes back. So just get used to it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I love, love, love the Word of God. I love these scriptures. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's see here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, praise God. Now, praise the Lord, yes. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. Those words there, I just had to find them here where I had it written down. The word substance is also, it says here, if you have a modern translation, like I do, amen, and you look over in your notes, you'll see it here. But it says the word substance is also the word realization. And the word of evidence is also the word confidence. So you could say this, now faith is the realization of things hoped for. It is the confidence of things not seen. That's an interesting take on it, isn't it? It's interesting to look at it that way. It's the realization. Where does the realization happen? It happens in our mind. If we can't realize it, if we can't see, if we just can't imagine it. You know, I love to use our house as an example of this. Not because we have a house that is so crazy expensive, not McMansion or anything like that. But it's a nice house. We're really blessed by it. But I'll tell you this, when we lived in Jamestown, we could have never saw the house that we live in today. We couldn't have seen it. There was no way in our minds we could ever live in a house like that. Now, like I said, the house isn't anything in the standards of housing, even in our area. It's not by any means on the high end of housing. Amen. It's a nice house, but it's not on the high end of housing. But what I'm saying is when where we were before, we couldn't even see what this was. There, in our minds, when we first started in the churches, having our own church, this is where we were. We lived in a house that we paid $28,000 for, and it was all that we could do to believe God for that. And, when we first were looking at our first building in Mayville for a church, you know, we're talking about several hundreds of thousands of dollars, which was mind-blowing to me. I mean, I was thinking like trying to find something for $70,000 or $80,000, and that in my mind was huge. Now, you know, what's funny is now if somebody mentions a building or a house for a few hundred thousand dollars, I don't even think about it. Why? Because God's increased my thinking. I'm not saying I'm necessarily going to go out tomorrow and buy $500,000 house, right? I'm not saying I wouldn't, but you know, I'm not after that right now. But my point is that God will increase. He has to bring us to a place where we think bigger. Because if I thought small, we could have never gotten in this building. In fact, when we first came to Corey, we found this building and we found out that it was actually a lot more than what we paid for it. But in my mind, I was like, there's no way a new church could do this. And God's proven that we're doing just that. Amen. Amen? How are we doing it? By some magic? No, it's not some magic ability. It's by God's ability, honest. Because if we, see, and this is the thing. So often, thinking in line with God is just the ability or the desire or the willingness to just say yes. Yes, Lord, I'll go there. Yes, Lord, I don't think, I know in my flesh I can't do that. I know in my own ability I can't do that. But I know with yours that I can. Amen. There's a realization that happens when faith starts happening. See, when what the realization is that, yes, we can do this. We can do what you've called me to do. This building is important to the work of God in this area. Why is it? I don't know fully yet why it is. I just know that it is. Why? Because he wouldn't. How do I know? Because he wouldn't have led us here. He wouldn't have made this all possible if it wasn't. And so we have to understand that. We have to think differently than what we always thought. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's the confidence of things not seen. That's the evidence for the confidence. In the Amplified, it says it's the confirmation of things not seen. You know, I was thinking about this. When you have a confirmation, has anyone ordered anything online? If you order something online, what do you get? You get a confirmation number. When you get that confirmation number, you're pretty good with that you're getting what you ordered. You expect to get what you ordered, right? When you got a confirmation number, you say, all right, it's paid for, typically, right? Because you use a credit card or something. Because they don't give you a confirmation number before you pay for it, right? There's nobody out there, I haven't found on Amazon yet, I haven't found any product that you can buy on Amazon Prime that they give me a confirmation until after I paid for it, right? By some means, but they give you a confirmation number. Now, there is not anybody in here who's ever bought anything online that having received the confirmation number, there's nobody in here who sits there and thinks, I wonder if they're actually going to send it to me. In fact, if you don't get it in your 2 days, because you get it in 2 days shipping or whatever you got, you know, but a lot of people are doing the 2 days shipping on Amazon. If you don't get it in 2 days, you're wondering where it is. You're kind of mad because you haven't got it, right? Why? Because you expect it. Praise the Lord. How about when you order something and you have it sent to a store? It's the same thing. What do you take with you? Take a confirmation number. Praise the Lord. My wife was just really nice. She bought me this watch. Hallelujah. She loved me. She took her birthday money and bought me something. Praise the Lord. So I even make out on her birthday. Glory to God. But that's just because she loves me. She knew that was something I desired, and so she bought it for me. And she sent me to the store with a confirmation number. Amen. And I went to the confirmation number. They're like, oh yeah, we scanned this earlier. They knew exactly what they were talking about. Pull it right out. Took all like 30 seconds to pick it up and leave the store with it. Why? We were confident. If I had gone in there and they're like, we don't know what you're talking about, I'd have been mad, right? Because it wouldn't. But that's what faith is. Faith is the confirmation. It is the confidence. It's like you go, I didn't go into that store without confidence. I went in with confidence. When the UPS or the UPS or the FedEx or the USPS or the ASPCA or whoever comes to my door with a package, I'm not surprised when I see them walking up on the porch. Amen. My dog still gets surprised, but I don't get surprised. They come up, they drop something off, and sometimes I've even forgotten. In fact, I got a package yesterday, or the day before. Yeah, yesterday. Got a package sitting there. See a guy walking up on the porch with a package. I'm thinking, what is that? Must be something my wife ordered. Went out and like, woo, my name's on it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What did I order? Hallelujah. I couldn't even think about what I ordered. See, we're so confident in the things that we don't even fret about it. But see, we can do that with packages. We can do that with Amazon, who's never proven to any. Who's the guy from Amazon? Is it Bezos or something like that? Jeff Bezos, I think, is the guy from the owner of Amazon, or the president, or the head honcho, or whatever he is. But you know that guy? He's never done one thing for me in my life. Guy's a billionaire. He's never done anything for me except give me 2-day shipping. He has, but he's done nothing else for me, and we pay for it. We're paying for it somewhere, I guarantee you. But what my point is I have all this confidence in Amazon. I have all this confidence in any other place that I order from. Why don't we have this confidence with God? Why don't we just trust God? Why don't we believe God at His word? That's what faith is. Faith is the confirmation in your heart that what God has promised you is already done. That what God has said to you, it's already answered. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to fret about it. You ain't got to figure it out. He's bringing it to pass. That's what confirmation is. That's what confidence is. And that's what faith is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's how He intends us to live. Praise the Lord. Having received the confirmation. And I love this here because it says, oh, this is all one verse, but praise the Lord, we'll just stay here for a while. The evidence of things seen. No, the evidence of things not seen. People are like, where is it? Well, I don't know where it is. You don't have to know where it is because it's not seen, but you know that it is. Because you have confirmation in your heart, because you got faith in your heart. Is there anybody here that's saved today? Praise the Lord. Give an amen if you're saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got a bunch of amens in here. Praise the Lord. How do you know? How do you know you're saved? You got a confirmation in your heart. You got the confirmation number. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We got a lot of confirmation numbers in here in Scripture, but we know that God is true to His word. Amen. And so we got to stand on that. So at any rate, this is what faith is. We're talking about faith. Amen. But we have to also understand, and faith is in your heart, but as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, how many people have thought with their heart recently? You know, usually when you think about thinking, you think about thinking with your mind. Amen. You don't think about thinking with your heart. But, you know, the Bible talks about in what your heart is our spirit. But what we allow ourselves to meditate on in our mind is what becomes what we believe. And that becomes our faith. And so if we're meditating on things that aren't true, if we're meditating on things that aren't the word, if we're meditating on small things, then that's where our hearts are going to be. Our hearts will never grow. Our spirits will never grow beyond that. Amen. They'll never be able to obtain great things because they're set on small things. And that's why we want to make sure that our hearts are set on big things. And we're going to see that, how we do that here today. Amen. So it goes on to say, for by it, elders obtained a good testimony. Amen. Amen. So we see here by what? By faith, the elders, the people who have gone before us, they obtained a good testimony. Anybody know what a testimony is? Right, praise the Lord. And we gave a test. We had a testimony Sunday once in Mayville, where we had just a bunch of testimonies that I read out of different things that God had really done in people's lives. We love testimonies. We love being able to have testimony Sundays. Amen. But we had a testimony Sunday, and we read out these testimonies. But would it meant anything to people that we were reading the testimonies to if they hadn't happened yet? No, because you can tell people all day long that you're believing for something. Yeah, right. But unless you can prove that something has happened, it isn't going to matter to somebody. Right. It gives no, you know, listen, it doesn't give a cancer patient hope if you go up to them and say, well, I've never seen anybody healed of cancer. I've never heard of it happening, but I could believe it for you. They're not going to get a lot of hope. But now when you go up to a cancer patient and you say, listen, I know that people have been healed of cancer. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What do they have? They get a little bit of hope. It builds a little faith in them. Praise the Lord. So a good testimony is what they receive by what? Faith. By believing in things they did not see. You believe in God. How many people here believe in God? Let's give an amen for if we believe in God. Amen. Glory to God. We believe in God. Hallelujah. It's faith in the unseen. So why would we think that anything else, if the ultimate thing, which I think anybody could agree with, is belief in God and understanding that God exists and that God has saved us and God has done all these wonderful things, if the ultimate is belief in the unseen, then why do we expect anything else with me? Faith is just believing, continually believing God and what's not seen. Amen? Praise the Lord. For by it, by believing in things that weren't seen, but being assured of them in their hearts, that is how the elders obtained the good testimony. What is a good testimony? It's proof that it happened. In other words, they didn't receive the end of their faith. They didn't receive the promise, the thing they were believing God for, the thing they were praying for. They didn't receive it until they believed it.
Right.
Amen?
That's right.
Glory to God. I hope you see where we're going with this. And so it matters what we're putting in. It matters what we're believing, and it starts with our mind. It matters what we think on. If we're constantly thinking it's not going to happen, our belief is never going to be bigger. If we're constantly thinking that, that everything is small and that God is not able, that God's just, you know what I mean? That's our belief is never going to get bigger. So we're never going to have a good testimony about bigger things. We're never going to have testimony about, listen, we can't look at this church with the number of people we have in it. We have to look at this church as, okay, it's time to build on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying we go out and start building on before it's time, because, you know, there is order to things as well. But we need to see the seats full.
Yeah.
We need to thank God for those things which we don't see. We need to be thanking God for the full seats. We need to be thanking God for extra services. We need to be thanking God for, rest for the pastor because he's pastoring too much. You know what I'm saying? We need to believe God for those things. Amen. It's a good thing to be busy with the work of the Lord and need to have that rest because that means you're doing something for God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So verse 3, and this is one of my top favorite scriptures. By faith, we understand. Hallelujah. How do you understand? How do you know? How do you get what God's doing? By faith. Listen, there's a certain aspect of faith that is never, you know, God could appear to every single one of us, 500 feet tall over Corey, Pennsylvania, and everybody in Corey would know who God is, amen? But that doesn't take faith. God desires faith. He wants faith. He's looking for faith. That's all he cares about, faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Look at this. So that the things which are not seen, right? Faith is what? The evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that were not, which are not seen, were not made of things which are visible. So we see here, God operated in faith. He spoke out the things that did not exist as though they were. He spoke to the worlds and say, exist, or however he said it. You know what I mean? New planet over there. New planet over there. New planet over there. Sun, 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 sun. However he did it. But the Bible says that he spoke it. By faith, we understand that. But by faith, we understand that God used faith. And by faith, we need to also understand that we need to use the same kind of faith because that's what we're called into. We weren't called into a lesser family. We were called, listen, I have to tell my children all the time. There's things that are expected of us because we're a ministry family. There's things we can't do because we're a ministry family. There's things we can't do that other people can do because we're a ministry family. It's just the way it is. Why? Because it could hurt the ministry if we go out and live like jackwagons. Even though everybody in the church can go out and live like jackwagons, the pastors cannot. And the pastor's kids are not allowed to live that way. Amen? Or a higher standard. Well, listen, if we're born into the body of Christ, so we become heirs to the throne of God, heirs to the things of God, and we become part of that new family, then if he's a big thinker, we need to be big thinkers. We need to, by default, we are just automatically, we're brought into it. Listen, we wanted to be adopted. We wanted to be brought in, and I can't imagine why anybody would not want to be able to think bigger. Again, when I go back to any issue that you can ever go to God about, it's bigger thinking that is the answer to your problem. What do I mean by that? It means there's something out there, there's an answer to every problem that any one of us can face. And just because you don't know it doesn't mean that it's not out there. But you need to know what it is. So you need to be a bigger thinker in order to be able to take care of the problem, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If faith comes, or if by faith things came, and we are to live by faith, that should speak to us. You know, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And if by faith everything came into existence. Now listen, let me say this again. By faith everything came into existence, and the just shall live by faith, and we are supposed to be just. Listen, we need to start making things happen. And we can't do that if we're thinking small. If we're just thinking, well, I just as long as my life's taken care of, that's fine. No. How do I take care of the needs of others? How do I take care of the needs of the church? It should be the desire of every single Christian to pay off the church building. Every Christian should have that desire. But small thinking will never get you there. If you sit there and think, well, I don't want to believe God for anymore. When was the last time? I mean, really, when was the last time that you went to the Lord and you said, Lord, I want to seek you for extra money to help pay off this or help pay off that in the building? Yeah, it's a work of the Lord. It's what God's doing. Needs big thinking. Why? Because it's just like I said in Mayville last week. If we have everything paid for, there's other things that we can go put money in. There's things we put money into. But I can tell you all the time, there's always need for more money out there. I've always hear of ministries that could use help here or help there. There's always things that need to be taken care of. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things that we can't do just because we're limited by money. That's the truth. Is it what God's desire is? Absolutely not. But the church congregation has to be able to think bigger if it's ever going to happen. They're going to say, well, you took up an offering last week. Why do you need to take up another one? Well, because there's stuff to do. Like the devil isn't stopping. The devil has no problem funding all his people. Right? Actually, Christians are spending more money funding the devil's children than they are funding the house of God. There's Christians that will spend more time. They will spend more time railing about the money that some preacher has than they will railing about the money that the devil's children have. Yeah. I mean, there is no preacher, to my knowledge, that is rich as some of these people in Hollywood. It is unreal the way people will pump money. I was telling my wife on the way down here. I was reading the news today. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. I got into the news. I was I like to skim the headlines and maybe skim over an article or two. But I found myself, I'm reading this article about this one famous actress's daughter. And I'm reading this article and I'm getting through it, and it's like, you know, she's talking about, you know, how she's trying to carve her own way and do all this stuff, and I'm reading it. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, like, why the heck am I reading this? Why do I care about what she's doing? Because the truth is I don't. It means nothing to me. I'm sitting here wasting my time when I could be doing anything else. Picking my nose would have been better than reading that article. I would have gotten more out of it than reading. I'm just telling you the truth. It did nothing to me, praise the Lord, to read that article. And yet here I was reading that article. But people are like that. They're so wrapped up in what everybody's doing. Right? I mean, we have news. You go through the grocery line and there's garbage mag after garbage mag. I'm almost using some bad words here. I'm just telling you the truth. All these garbage magazines of all this stuff about what some unspiritual or bad spiritual famous person who can't even, you know, they can't even walk down the street right. And yet there's some article about it and everybody's interested in it. You know, people get mad at like the paparazzi and stuff like that. It's like, wait a minute, but you are perpetuating all that mess of stuff. Why do we care about that stuff? It's because people aren't ever focused on the things they need to be focused on. You know, in the words of the great prophet Elvis, clean up your own backyard. Hallelujah. Clean up your own backyard. Stop looking at everybody else's. Get before the Lord and say, Lord, what can I do? Not looking. I love it when people say, oh, they should have done this with that money. Oh, so you're the authority on what they should have done with their money. You're the authority on that. I just love it. You hear that in the church, for God's sakes. They did that with Jesus, didn't they? They should have given that. They should have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor. What's it to you what they do? It didn't belong to you. Why don't you go out and start using your faith and believe God for the poor? If the poor are so important to you, why don't you start using your faith for the poor? Lord, bless me so I can give the poor more. Yeah, absolutely. See, that would be something. But people don't want to do something about it. All they do is want to sit around and stew about it. They want to sit around and complain about it. But that's also why Christians are not walking in the blessing of God. Because God doesn't like complainers. He doesn't like people sitting around wondering what everybody else is doing. He wants you to clean up your own backyard. That's why he gave the anointing to Elvis to say that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it might not exactly happen that way, but you understand the point anyways, right? Praise the Lord. There's be some people that say be mad at me for saying that Elvis was a prophet, but praise the Lord. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. By the way, this is probably one of my favorite scriptures in all of Scripture. Commit your works to the Lord. Commit what you do. You dedicate it to him. You trust him for it. You put it all. And he said, Lord, I want my works. I want them to be your works. Yeah. He said, you do that and your thoughts will be established. Right. Your thoughts will be established. Oh, I don't know about you, but I can think some pretty good thoughts. I want my thoughts to be established. But I would say this. You commit your works to the devil. And your thoughts get established there too. Yeah, because the devil will make sure you get what you want. If it'll draw you away from God. And that's where a lot of God's people are doing. They're not thinking bigger. They're sitting there thinking, why does any ministry need an airplane? Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't have an airplane, but I'd sure love an airplane. When I go somewhere, it would sure bless me to be able to fly my own airplane instead of having to go wait in line. And do all that stuff and all the things that come with it. I don't know why ministry needs airplanes. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. If they desire an airplane and God has put it on their heart, or they have been serving God and God blesses them with the ability to do it, who am I to judge that? Who cares what kind of things you travel in? You know what I'm saying? Listen, I've been in places where they still travel. We live in a place. There's Amish out there that travel on a horse and buggy. Not one of you needs a car to drive. Not one of you does. You can. My mom does. Yeah, she needs a car to drive. But we don't need this. See, that's the thing. It's the ridiculousness of it all. People are judging what other people have, and the whole time it's like we all have something more than what we need. It's not about that, amen. It's about thinking bigger, amen. The reason that why I'm going to tell you something. This is why we're ahead of a lot of people, because we do think bigger. We do have. I am glad that I don't drive a beater anymore. Yeah. It wasn't always that case, but I'm glad I don't drive a beater anymore. No. Listen, it took me years to get to that point, but I'm glad you know what I'm saying? This was my first brand new vehicle that I ever had. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't feel bad for it. And I won't take anybody else trying to make me feel bad about it either. Why? Because you don't know the grain I've been treading out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. I remember, I always go back to this. The Lord spoke this to me. It was when I was driving an absolute beater, and I'm not joking, because that's all we drove. I mean, we had cars that if you couldn't pay cash for them, you didn't drive them. Well, number one, we didn't have any credit, or I didn't have any credit, and then I didn't have the ability to make a payment even if I did have credit. So I'd scrape together whatever money I had, and that was the vehicle I had. I remember, I've driven some dandies, amen. Praise the Lord. I had a 1982 Chevette. That car would go downhill. They'd go 35 miles an hour downhill with a good wind, and I'm not joking. Amen. That car, if I turned left, if there was someone sitting in the passenger seat, I had to hold on to them because that door always flew open. We ended up taking that door. We drilled a hole through the roof and ran a coat hanger through it and tied it like that. And that's what kept that door shut. Everybody entered through the driver's side door. Amen. No, none of the windows rolled up all, but they rolled up all but that far. There's two windows that rolled up and they all but that far. Amen. And so I would come out after school and I'd get in that car and man, and there'd be snow across the seat and it didn't have leather. It had pleather. You remember what pleather was? It wasn't even pleather. They didn't even upgrade to pleather in that car. It was plastic. It was just plain. They didn't even call it pleather. This is plastic interior. And that's what it was. And plastic interior, when snow sits on it, gets real cold, real hard, real stiff. It ain't comfortable. I had a blanket in the back seat and a blanket in the front seat. The one in the front seat were for the people riding in the front, and the one from the back seat were for the people riding in the back, in case we had them back there, just to keep warm because there was no heat in the car either. These are the kind of vehicles I drove, and I drove these for years, even up into my 20s. I had beaters, I had things that fall apart, you know. Praise the Lord, faith cars, you know what I mean? Not faith because we got them by faith that they'd stay together going down the road. I had one car, it was like a 1985 Mercury Topaz, and it did this thing, and we dubbed the Topaz Shake. Hallelujah. The Topaz Shake was when you hit 30 miles an hour, just ka-choo. That's what it would do. So you had to go to either 32 or stay at 28, because if you went in between that, it was going to do the Topaz Shake. But all my friends knew about it. I'm so glad I've been blessed out of that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I never saw myself out of much more than that. But it was faith being built in me. Amen. And I'm not talking and preaching to, just to have stuff. But God has to bigger our thinking, because if you can't think about it bigger for yourself, you certainly aren't going to think for someone else. Because who do we look out for most? We look out for number one, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But, that's not always should be so. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Praise God. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Guess what? I'll just call some of my favorite scriptures. I just love these scriptures. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, seeking the Lord is an interesting thing, but a lot of people don't realize what seeking the Lord is. It really is looking for God in everything. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in some nasty apartments, nasty places that people have lived. I used to party in some. And I'm going to tell you that God's never been found in dirt. Yeah. He's not found in a dirt hole. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about dirt like dirt outside. I'm talking about nasty poverty. God's not. When we were in Rio de Janeiro, and we were in what was called the favelas, and the poorest of the poor. There's no such thing. When I came back from Brazil, one thing that I said and said very, very vocally and still maintain it today is there is no such thing as poor in America. There is no such thing as poverty in America, because you have not seen poverty until you've been to a third world country. But we walked through these favelas and the smell of just a nasty, rancid dumpster everywhere. That's what it smelled like. And there was no doors and there's no windows. There was just openings and there's people running around and stray animals and there was garbage just dumped here and there. I'm going to tell you what. I didn't see God in any of that. Yeah. Never saw God in any of that, because God isn't in poverty. God is not in the poverty business. He is not okay with poverty. God does not want his people poor. He is not okay with people being broke and defeated. He's just not okay with that. That is not okay with God. And if you think it is, then you're never going to get out of that. You have to understand that our God is the God who created abundance. He did not create lack. In fact, Jesus cursed lack. And it just seems like Christians still can't get that. They still can't get that. Yeah, they think it's being humble. It's not humble. Jesus was just as humble as you could be, and he wasn't poor. Everybody said, Jesus was poor. He never lacked. I don't understand how you can say Jesus was poor. Poor to me is lacking. If you never lack, you're not poor. Amen? Seek the Lord while he may be found. You got to look for God in the right places. You're not going to see God in small thinking. You're not going to see God. You're not going to see the God, creator of the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. You're not going to see that by thinking of the small, weak God. That's what the world has. They have weak gods. We have a powerful God. We have the creator of everything. God is a God of abundance. Look how he created this earth. Look at how much of this earth. I mean, think about the lush fields and the grasses and the trees that nobody will ever look at. They'll never lay eyes on. Think about the fish that live and die in the ocean and never get caught, never get eaten. That just, because there's tons of them. Think about the animals that live and die and they never do it. Think about the gold that will never be dug out of the ground. Think about the oil that will never be drilled out of the ground. Think about the silver that will never be found. Think about the gems. You think that the Hope Diamond was big? There's diamonds in the earth, I'm sure, that far exceed the Hope Diamond that no one will ever find. Yeah. That when the end of all things come, it's going to burn up with everything else. Why? Because our God is a God of abundance. Yeah. How we think, we need to think big. We need to think like our God, because when we start thinking like our God, as big as our God, then we can start doing the things that he's really called us to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. I love that. The unrighteous man. You know, the word righteous literally means to think right, to be right. And so a righteous person thinks right. But how about righteous people that are thinking wrong? It says, let the unrighteous person forsake their thoughts. Listen, you are what you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, I have been called to be righteous, not unrighteous.
That's right.
But if I think unrighteous, then what does the Bible say? I'm just what I think. Yeah. I am unrighteous. That's the word of God. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. God will have mercy on that man. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Now look at what God says here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, that's the thing. So many people, they're like, they're having all these thoughts. God says, your thoughts aren't my thoughts. You're not thinking in line with me. Now, he's not saying you can't be. He's not saying it's an impossibility, because he says, let the wicked forsake them. The unrighteous man, let him forsake his thoughts.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Give your thoughts up, because they don't line up with his thoughts. Well, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Because his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and his ways aren't our ways. They're higher than ours.
Yeah.
And so that's something that tells us, if they're higher than ours, then we need to put our thoughts, if we're forsaking our thoughts, we need to put them up where God's are. Not try to bring God's down where, well, God wouldn't like that. How do you know God wouldn't like that? You're telling me that God created this earth in such abundance, and yet he wants us to think small. He wants us to just, oh, we just want a little country church out here in the woods. I don't think so. That's not the way God thinks. You can have a little country church. But God's intended that all men should come to repentance. Listen, all men can't come to repentance if the church can't fit them all. I'm just telling you the truth. How are we going to get everybody saved if we just, you know what I'm saying? We need to think bigger. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about God. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:2. Guess what? This is one of my favorite scriptures. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Message is packed full of my favorites. I didn't even realize I was writing it. I was putting together a sermon. I'm like, oh, I like that scripture. I like that one. It's my favorite. Hallelujah. What's it say here? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Remember Transformers?
Yeah.
I loved Transformers when I was a kid. That was back when toys were toys, man. They're good toys. They weren't made out of cheap plastic. They were made of good solid plastic. Back in that day, hallelujah. Transformers, what did they do? They transformed. What was a transformation? It turned into something that it wasn't before. Praise the Lord. A car became a robot. I'm driving, my truck is a nice truck. But I'm going to tell you the truth, it hasn't turned into a robot yet. Amen? I'd like it to. Heck yeah, I'd like it to. If all of a sudden my truck turned into Optimus Prime, oh man, I'd be on my way. Woo! Glory to God. I'd be conquering some things. Amen. Probably go right over there to North Korea and kick that Kim Jong-un in the Kim Jong-un. That's exactly where I came. That's what I was saying. Amen. You said it nicer. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, if your mind isn't transformed, you can't prove what the good will of God is. How do we get into the will of God? Well, you're not going to do it with the way you've been thinking. You're not going to do it with the way you thought coming in. You need to come in and change your mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's change we can believe in. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Renewing of your mind says stop relying on the government and start relying on God. Hallelujah. Because God's the one who has the final say. He's the one who has the ability to call those things that be not. We're the ones that have the ability to call those things that be not as though they were. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was going to read this to you in the Amplified. Probably better. Amen. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, entire renewal, by its new ideals and new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love Mark 9:23-24. It says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Yes.
Praise God.
See, that's what we need to do. If we're at the place where we can't think big, we need to start, we need to go to God like that.
Yes.
Lord, I believe your word. Help me believe. Help my unbelief. Help those areas where I can't quite grasp it yet. Help me understand what your will is for my life, even though I'm at a place where I can't see the end from the beginning. But I need you to help show me what that is and then be willing to go with him and be willing to flow with him. Amen. Do I got any time left? A little bit. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to John 14. Praise the Lord. John 14. Verse 7. We got to change our stinking thinking.
Yes.
We need to be brainwashed.
Right.
Amen? Let's get brainwashed. Change that stinking thinking. Nobody likes stinky anyways.
Right.
Amen? Anyone like stinky yet?
No.
Well, maybe a few people, but... Praise the Lord, I ain't going there. Hallelujah. John 14:7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. That's a bold statement Jesus said right there. Listen, Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. You and I, even sistren, are those brethren. Hallelujah. We fall into that place. He's the firstborn. Jesus said, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Why was he saying that? Because they were looking at God. They were looking at Jesus. And it wasn't just because Jesus was God. It wasn't just because he was God in the flesh. It was because what Jesus was doing was the will of God. Amen? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Praise the Lord. Most assured. So we see here that Jesus is claiming to see the Father was to see him, because what he was doing is what the Father was doing. He was thinking bigger. Jesus thought, did anybody think that Jesus thought bigger? He thought a lot bigger than everybody. Everybody was blown away by what Jesus was doing. And he was saying, I'm just doing the will of the Father. I ain't doing what I want to do. I'm doing what he wants me to do. And therefore, because I'm doing what he wants me to do. When you look at me, you're seeing him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, you say, Pastor Jeff, how does that apply to us? I'm glad you asked, because we have more scriptures to read. Amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So you may say, well, why don't we see greater works than what Jesus? Because nobody believes. Nobody's thinking bigger. Nobody's thinking like he thinks. They're not forsaking their thoughts. They're thinking the thoughts they want to think. And that's why we're not seeing healings. That's why we're not seeing the manifestations of the Spirit like we should see it. That's why we're not seeing people walk on water. Because people aren't doing, they're not thinking bigger. People are like, Jesus walked on water, but I never could. That's a stretch, right? You go to most churches, you ask, can you walk on water? I can guarantee you, I can't find anybody who's going to walk on water. But see, they're not thinking in line with the way Jesus is thinking, amen? Praise the Lord. So it goes on to say, if you ask, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He repeats it.
Yeah.
Anything in my name, I will do it. Well, I don't know if I can ask for that. It's kind of big. I don't know if I can ask for that. It's kind of a lot more than what we ever believe. Could God really do that? Could God really put us in a house that's twice as nice? Could God really bless us so much that we pay all our bills and we pay off the church? If you believe, Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The problem is people aren't believing that way. They're not saying, I want to pay off the church. They're saying, I just want to be able to pay my bills. And I'll give God whatever extra I have. That's not belief. That's not faith. That's not increase. And if you don't think with increase, you can't be increased. Why? Because God has set up this thing to work this way. This is the way it works. But Christians aren't thinking this way. They're always thinking small. So, well, I just got to pay my bills. I just got to get through this week. I just got to get through this month. Jesus said, don't worry about all that. Why are Christians still worrying about it? Because they don't think big. They think small. They think about their paycheck. They think about their job not being enough, their paycheck not being enough. They think about what they can do and what they can't do. They're not thinking big, and so they won't have big. You can't have the power of God if you're thinking about your own power. Because you're not thinking big. We need to think big. We can't think small, amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus said here, I mean, it is such a profound statement to say that. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a promise. I want you to go, like, we should go to churches. We should just start taking polls and asking people, Pastor, why don't we believe this? Why aren't we doing this? There are people that don't believe that God still heals. They don't believe that God answers prayers, that God wants you blessed. How can you believe that reading this scripture? You must not believe in God. You don't believe in the God of the Bible. You don't believe in the fullness of who he is. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with this. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, if then, it's asking you a question. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What is that saying? It doesn't mean that not, you know, for things that we need and stuff like that. That's not what he's saying when he said things of the earth. Set your mind on what the plan of God is. Set your mind up there knowing that all that he takes care of all those things. All those things will be wrapped up in it. Amen? It doesn't mean that you just completely neglect everything that's here on earth and you're just sitting there constantly thinking about God. No, it doesn't. He's not saying that at all. The work that we have to do is here on earth. It isn't in heaven. God does not have us here, praise the Lord, so we're not just biding time till we get to heaven. He has us here to do a work to reach people. And it can't happen when people think small. It will never happen when people think small. Amen?